A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel's got three questions this week, all orbiting the same problem. He's still unboxing the apartment, getting toward the end of it, and his brain has started wandering into the weeds of tool carry optimization. The first question, is there such a thing as a wearable parts drawer? A multi-compartment thing you attach to your body or belt, 10 compartments or so, for the fasteners and small parts you're constantly cycling through. Self-tapping screws, machine screws, nuts, washers, anchors. Not a dumb bag with one big pocket. Not a parts box on the bench. Something you wear.
Right. And he's been living inside a tough-built Cliptech system for a while now, so he knows what a belt pouch can do. But he's hitting the limit of what a single electrician's pouch and a warehouse pouch can hold when the job is general apartment fit out. He's got drywall anchors in one hand, machine screws in the other, and he's probably got a pocket full of wall plugs that he forgot about until just now.
Which brings us to questions 2 and 3. He wants to know what the serious pouches look like, the ones that resemble little clip-on backpacks. Tough Built's Mega Supply Pouch, their contractor and framer and builder pouches, and whatever else is out there that can handle a full load. And then the practical ergonomics. What belts, what trousers, and what body mechanics actually work when you're carrying 10 or 15 pounds on your waist all day, instead of the 5 or 6 you might be used to.
So we're going to figure out if the wearable parts drawer exists, what the biggest serious pouches on the market actually look like, and what happens when you start loading 10 pounds of gear onto your waist.
Let's start with the first question, because it's the one where the answer surprised me. I went looking for this thing. I assumed someone had made it. A wearable multi-compartment grab system for loose fasteners. 10 little bins you can dip into while you're up a ladder. I thought, surely, this is the kind of thing that exists and I just haven't stumbled across it because I'm not deep enough into the fastener carry rabbit hole.
And?
It doesn't exist. Not as a commercial product. Not from anyone. There's no mass market wearable parts drawer with 10 dedicated compartments for loose screws and anchors that clips onto a belt or a vest. The thing Daniel's imagining, it's a gap in the market. I went through every major manufacturer's catalog. I checked the niche brands, the Kickstarter graveyard, the Etsy leather workers, who make you a custom pouch for your left-handed dog walking needs. Nothing.
Which is strange when you think about it, because the need is so obvious. Every tradesperson and serious DIYer has that list of 10 fasteners they're constantly reaching for. Drywall screws, wood screws and a couple of lengths, machine screws, washers, nuts, wall anchors, maybe some self-tappers. And the workflow is always the same. Walk back to the bench, open the parts box, grab a handful, walk back, repeat. It's not just inefficient. It's the kind of inefficiency that grinds on your soul after the fourth trip in 20 minutes.
And dump bags exist. But as Daniel points out, they're single compartment and mostly designed for waste or for holding a loose handful of one thing. The Tough Built C50 parts pouch is essentially a bucket on a belt. One big compartment with maybe a couple of dividers. It's not 10 separate bins. You dump a handful of mixed screws in there, and you're going to spend 30 seconds fishing out the one you need, which defeats the whole purpose of having it on your belt in the first place.
The closest thing I could find in terms of sheer pocket count is the Vito Pro Pack TP XXL EVO. 48 pockets. Structured interior. It's a beautiful piece of engineering. But it's a backpack-style tool bag. You set it down, you open it, you work out of it. It's not something you wear while you're moving around. It's the opposite of what Daniel's asking for. It's like saying a filing cabinet is the same as a wallet because they both hold paper.
And then there's the Diamondback Tool Belt's modular apron system. Multiple small pouches, very well made, but they're tool-specific. A hammer loop, a tape measure holster, a speed square slot. They're not designed to hold 30 drywall screws in one pouch and 20 machine screws in another without everything mixing together. The pouches are shaped to cradle a specific tool, not to contain a loose collection of small identical objects that want to escape.
The Atlas 4/6 Savoy Tool Vest has a similar problem. Lots of pockets, but they're shaped for specific tools. A pencil pocket, a utility knife slot, a phone pouch. You could dump fasteners into some of them, but they'd slosh around and migrate between compartments the moment you bend over. Picture leaning down to pick up a drill and hearing the sound of 40 drywall screws cascading from one pocket into the next. That's not a tool vest at that point. That's a maraca.
And that's the fundamental design challenge. Small parts need rigid compartments to prevent mixing, but rigid compartments on a belt create pressure points and limit flexibility. A plastic parts box is great at keeping screws separated because it's a rigid rectangle that sits flat on a bench. Strap that same rigid rectangle to your hip, and now it's digging into your thigh every time you kneel down. The very thing that makes it work on a bench is what makes it fail on a body.
This is why parts boxes have stayed on benches and in tool bags for decades. The engineering trade-off is real. You want compartments that don't collapse and don't let things spill between them, which means structure. But you want something that conforms to a moving body, which means flexibility. Those two things fight each other. It's like trying to make a hard-shell suitcase that also rolls up into a backpack. The materials that do one job well are terrible at the other.
The closest real product I found is the Occidental Leather 5499 Mighty Mite. Multiple small pockets, very high-quality leather, but again, tool pockets, not fastener bins. You might get 3 or 4 different fasteners into the various pouches, but you're going to be fishing around in each one, and you won't get anywhere near 10 separate types. And you're going to spend a lot of time with your fingers in a dark leather pocket going, is this a number 8 or a number 10?
And there's a market reason this gap exists. The tool pouch industry is driven by tradespeople, electricians, framers, plumbers, who carry a consistent, narrow set of tools. An electrician needs the same 7 things every day. A framer needs a hammer, a speed square, a nail set, and nails. They don't need 10 different fasteners. The generalist DIYer doing apartment fit-out, who needs drywall anchors and machine screws and wood screws and self-tappers all in the same morning, that's a smaller market, and the engineering challenge of rigid compartments on a flexible belt makes it a harder product to build profitably. The industry has optimized for the electrician who needs 7 things forever, not the apartment renovator who needs 30 things for 6 months and then never again.
So on question 1, the answer is no. The wearable 10-compartment parts drawer doesn't exist as a commercial product. The closest you can get is a modular vest system with multiple small pouches, each of which you fill with one type of fastener and label. But even then, you're fighting the mixing problem. Or you clip a small parts box to your belt with a carabiner, which some people do, but it's clunky and it swings around and you look like you're wearing a lunchbox on your hip.
What does exist is magnetic parts trays that clip onto a belt. They're single compartment, but at least the fasteners stay put. And some of the bucket-style pouches have removable dividers. The tough-built C50 lets you split the main compartment into 2 or 3 sections. That's as close as the market gets. 2 or 3 sections, not 10. It's a divider, not a drawer system.
So the wearable parts drawer is a white whale. Now let's talk about the opposite end of the spectrum, the pouches that are almost too big. Daniel's been using an electrician's pouch and a warehouse pouch, and he's realizing he wants something that can swallow a full load. Drill, bits, tape, 2 measuring tools, phone, power bank, fasteners, screwdrivers, knife. That's a lot of gear. And once you put the drill in there, everything else has to fit around it.
And Toughbuilt makes several pouches that are essentially the next size up from what he's using. Their biggest belt-mounted pouch is the Mega Supply Pouch, model C650. It's roughly 12 inches tall, 8 inches wide, 5 inches deep. Multiple internal dividers, external pockets, the whole ClipTech quick release system. Empty weight around 1.5 to 2 pounds. Loaded capacity, you can get 10 to 15 pounds into this thing depending on what you're carrying. It's a small backpack that lives on your hip.
And they make trade-specific versions. The contractor pouch, C6V5, has more small pockets for electrical and general work. The framer pouch, C660, has a long slot for a speed square and a dedicated hammer loop. The builder pouch, C665, is somewhere in between. The point is, each one is optimized for a particular tool set, and they're all in that same size class, big but not absurd. You're not going to accidentally pack a circular saw into one of these, but you could get close.
Beyond tough built, you've got the DeWalt DG521 Levin Heavy Duty Tool Pouch. Similar dimensions, roughly 11 by 7 by 4 inches, but less structured. The Klein Tools 518 is a classic electrician's pouch, but it's smaller. It's not in the mega pouch category. The Gatorback 3-bag combo is a modular system that can get very large, but it requires a specific belt and the whole setup gets complicated. You're not just buying a pouch, you're buying into an ecosystem.
The real heavyweight is the Occidental Leather 5500 Master Carpenter. This is a two-pouch system, left side and right side, and fully loaded it can hit 15 to 20 pounds. That's a different category of carry. You're not clipping this on and off between tasks. You're wearing it all day, and your body knows it. Your body will send you memos about it, strongly worded memos.
Let's talk about what a typical load actually weighs, because I think most people don't do the math. A compact drill or impact driver is 3 to 4 pounds. 20 or 30 bits and fasteners, another pound or two. Tape measure and laser measure, about a pound together. Utility knife and a couple of screwdrivers, another pound to two. Phone and a power bank, about a pound. Electrical tape, pencil, miscellany, half a pound. That's 7 to 10 pounds for a moderate load, and 12 to 15 if you're really loaded up. And that's before you add the weight of the pouch itself.
That's where the ergonomics conversation starts. Because 7 pounds on one hip doesn't sound like much until you've been wearing it for 4 hours. 10 pounds on one hip is uncomfortable. 15 is. You're going to feel that in your lower back by lunch. And it's not just the weight, it's the asymmetry. Your body is designed to carry weight evenly. Put 10 pounds on the left hip and nothing on the right. And your spine has to compensate with every single step.
The belt is the weakest link. Most tool belts are 2 to 3 inches wide. That's fine for 5 or 6 pounds. For loads over 10 pounds, you need a 4-inch wide padded belt, something like the Tough-Built C100 or the Occidental Leather 4-inch belt, to distribute weight across the hips rather than concentrating it on the waist. The difference is dramatic. A 2-inch belt with 10 pounds on one side feels like a rope cutting into you. A 4-inch padded belt with the same load, you notice it, but it's not painful. It's the difference between a backpack with thin straps and one with proper shoulder padding. Same weight, completely different experience.
Then the trousers. The pouch pulls down on the belt, which pulls down on the belt loops. Cheap belt loops, the kind on standard chinos or lightweight work pants, will tear. Maybe not the first day, but eventually. For loads of 8 pounds, you want reinforced belt loops. Carhartt Double Front Dungarees have them. Truck T2 pants have them. They're stitched through multiple layers of fabric, and they're wider than standard loops. It sounds like a small detail, but it's the difference between your pants staying up and your pants failing at the worst possible moment. And that moment is always when you're halfway up a ladder with both hands full.
Body mechanics is the part most people skip. Loads over 10 pounds on one side create a pelvic tilt. Your body compensates by leaning slightly away from the load, which puts your spine into a subtle curve. After a full day, that curve becomes muscle fatigue, and muscle fatigue becomes back pain. The solution is either a counterweight pouch on the opposite side, a lot of framers carry a nail pouch on the left to balance the hammer and square on the right, or a vest system that distributes weight across both shoulders and the upper back.
The Atlas 46 Savoy 2 vest and the Diamondback vest systems can handle 15 to 20 pounds distributed across the shoulders and upper back. That's significantly more ergonomic than the same weight on a belt. But, and this is where Daniel's insight about popping off between uses matters. Vest systems are hot, they're restrictive, and they're slower to take off than a belt pouch with a quick-release buckle. If you're moving between rooms frequently, or going in and out of the house, the Tough-Built clip system is faster. You unclip, you set it down, you walk away. A vest you have to unzip or unbuckle, shrug off, find somewhere to hang it. And if you're doing that 12 times a day, those seconds add up.
That speed matters more than people think. If removing your gear is a 30-second process, you'll do it when you go inside for water. If it's a 2-minute process, you'll leave it on, which means you're carrying the weight longer, which means more fatigue. The quick-release clip systems, Tough-Built's ClipTech, the Gatorback buckles, they change how you actually use the pouches in practice, not just how you buy them. They lower the friction between working and not working, and that changes how long you carry the weight.
There's also the sweat factor. which I want to come back to. But first, the misconception I keep seeing is that a bigger pouch is always better. It's not. A pouch that can hold 20 pounds is only useful if your body and your belt and your trousers can handle 20 pounds. Otherwise, you're just carrying around empty space that adds weight, or worse, you're filling it and hurting yourself. It's like buying a pickup truck because you might need to move a couch someday. Most of the time, you're driving around with an empty bed, paying for the privilege in fuel and parking difficulty.
The second misconception, all tool belts are the same. The difference between a 2-inch web belt and a 4-inch padded leather belt with a suspension system is night and day. It's like the difference between hiking boots and dress shoes. They're both footwear. One is designed to carry weight all day, the other is not. You wouldn't hike a mountain in loafers. Don't carry 10 pounds of tools on a fashion belt.
The third one. And this is going to annoy some people. Leather pouches aren't always superior to nylon. Leather is beautiful. It lasts forever. It develops character. But it doesn't breathe. And that matters. Leather is like a good wool coat. It's wonderful until it's the wrong weather, and then it's actively working against you.
Which is exactly where we need to go next. I think we need to hear from someone who's fitted more of these things than he'd care to remember.
You're all talking about weight and compartments. The thing nobody mentions is the sweat. A leather pouch against your hip on a 30-degree day. After 4 hours, the leather is wet, your trousers are wet, and the belt is starting to chafe. The best ergonomic upgrade isn't a wider belt, it's a mesh-backed pouch. Tough Belt's nylon stuff breathes. Occidental's leather does not. I fitted a guy who switched from Occidental to Tough Belt and said his hip rash cleared up in a week.
You fitted a guy.
I fitted about 200 of them, worked 6 months at a place called Belt Up, construction supply startup 2019. The whole business model was, you'd come in, we'd measure you, fit you with pouches and a belt, and make you walk around the warehouse for 20 minutes while I watched for pressure points. They're gone now. The startup, not the pressure points. My job was literally watching tradespeople walk in circles and asking them where it hurt.
The hip rash thing, was that common?
Common enough that I started tracking it. The single biggest predictor of whether someone would return a pouch within the 30-day window wasn't weight, not pocket count, not price. It was whether the back panel had ventilation channels. Mesh backing, air gaps, anything that let the skin breathe. Most manufacturers still don't publish that spec. You have to look at the product photos and guess. Is that a mesh back, or is that just textured leather? Good luck figuring it out from a website thumbnail. We had a wall of returned pouches. Maybe 60-70 of them. All leather, all with smooth backs. Every one of them came back with the same complaint, uncomfortable after 3 hours. Not the weight, the wet. People would say, it's too heavy, but what they meant was, I'm sweating through my shirt and the pouch is rubbing me raw. Weight, you can get used to. A wet leather panel against your skin for 6 hours that you don't get used to.
Daniel's wearable parts drawer? The 10-compartment thing?
We had a guy 3D print a prototype. 12 compartments, clipped onto a standard belt, worked great for about 2 weeks, then the PLA started cracking from the constant flexing. Every time he bent over or knelt down, the plastic stressed. By week 3, it was held together with duct tape. The problem isn't that nobody's thought of it, it's that nobody's made it out of the right material yet. PLA's too brittle. ABS is better, but heavier. You'd need something like glass-filled nylon with living hinges, and tooling that mold costs more than most of these companies want to spend on a product that might not sell. The tooling for a single injection mold with living hinges and 10 compartments, you're looking at $50,000 to $100,000 before you've made a single unit, and you don't know if anyone will buy it.
The demand was real. People were asking for it.
Every third customer walked in asking for something like it. Where's the thing that holds my screw separate? We'd show them the bucket pouches with dividers. They'd buy one. They wouldn't come back and buy a second one. The return rate on the divided pouches was worse than the leather. Nobody solved it. The material flexes, the compartments crack, or the whole thing gets too heavy. Pick two. You can have rigid and light, but it'll crack. You can have rigid and durable, but it'll be heavy. You can have light and durable, but it won't hold its shape. The triangle of doom.
The wearable parts drawer is a materials problem waiting for a solution. And Daniel's broader question about carry systems, it sounds like the answer is, know your load, know your belt, and know your sweat tolerance.
The thing I keep thinking about is how personal all of this is. Two people can carry the same 10 pounds and have completely different experiences depending on their hip width, their belt choice, their trousers, the ambient temperature, and whether they're moving between rooms or standing in one spot. There's no universal best pouch. There's only the pouch that fits your body and your workflow. And you won't know which one that's until you've worn it for a full day, by which point you've already bought it.
The market is only starting to serve the generalist DIYer, who needs a bit of everything. The tradesperson model, one pouch, one tool set, one trade, has dominated for decades. But Daniel's use case, the apartment fit out where you're drilling one minute and driving screws the next and cutting drywall the next, that requires a broader carry, and the products are slowly catching up. Tough Build's modular clip system is a step in that direction. The vest systems are another step. But the wearable parts drawer, that's still a prototype held together with duct tape.
The open question Hilbert left us with is whether the right material exists yet. Glass-filled nylon might work. Cordura with rigid plastic inserts might work. Someone's going to figure it out eventually because the demand is clearly there. Every DIYer I know has that same frustration, walking back to the bench for three screws. It's not the walking that bothers you, it's the interruption. You're in a flow state, you reach for a fastener, and it's not there. The flow breaks. That's what people are actually paying to solve.
Daniel's broader insight is worth sitting with. The journey from a single pouch to a full carry system is a process of discovering your own ergonomic limits. You start with an electrician's pouch. You add a warehouse pouch. You realize you need more. You buy the mega pouch. Then you realize your belt can't handle it. Then you buy the 4-inch padded belt. Then you realize your trousers are the weak link. It's a cascade, and each upgrade teaches you something about what your body can and can't tolerate. You don't buy a carry system. You evolve into one.
The cutting room floor detail I wanted to mention. The Occidental Leather 5500 Master Carpenter Pouch System I mentioned earlier, the one that can hit 20 pounds fully loaded, uses a suspension system where the pouches actually hang from the shoulders via a harness that connects to the belt. It's not just a belt carrying weight. It's a hybrid between a belt and a vest. That's the direction the high-end stuff is going. Recognizing that the hips alone can't do the job for heavy loads. The body wants to carry weight on the shoulders. The belt wants to carry weight on the hips. The hybrid systems try to split the difference.
If you find a wearable 10-compartment parts box, send us a photo. We'll put it on the website. Until then, maybe just keep a parts box on the bench and walk back and forth. It's good for you. Steps are steps.
Thanks to our producer, Hilbert Flumingtop. This has been My Weird Prompts. Email us at show@myweirdprompts.com.
We'll be back soon.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth's slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time, stay curious, keep weird in mind.